Let's get into prayer. I'll open up in prayer here first. Lord, we just thank you for bringing us together again today. Lord, we need you. We thank you that you've called us such a great hope. And Lord, not even a hope here, a hope beyond even. But we thank you, Lord, that you walk with us every day. And so, Lord, open our eyes today to see your word the way you'd have us to see it, to see you. You teach us by your Holy Spirit, and just open our hearts to a greater reality of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you want to turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be in today. And as you're turning there, last time, I think it was 3 weeks ago, we talked about Ephesians 4, but it was on anger, bitterness. It was on, just putting away all the things that take us away from the life of Christ, that that are not found in Christ. And so we as his followers are to put on, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And last week we went into that. This week we'll be talking about walking in love, but also what to put on, so let's just get into it. And we'll go from there. But this is a little heavier of a message. This is a little, just to warn you, there's some deep stuff in here. And so we're going to get into it, but we'll come out the other side. So just hang with, and we'll get through this together because it's good. So let's open up. We'll just read 5 to 9. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And so Paul, in this age, similar to ours in some ways, is, this was a bustling city. This was a city built around Diana. There was a lot of commerce there. It was just a big to-do city. There was a lot of witchcraft, a lot of darkness in this city. And so there was when Paul was there in the city, there was a lot of, I think it was like millions of dollars today. I don't know, maybe it was up in the millions anyways, when a revival broke out and everybody brought their new agey, I guess we would call it today, you know, occultish practices, books, different things, and they burnt it. And so the city had a lot of darkness there, and there was a lot of strongholds within that city. And we today face similar things in our culture, and for some ways it's popping its head up even more in our culture today. But we face the same similar things than they faced then. And so Paul is going to speak to these this Ephesians church or the surrounding churches and declare to them, you know, to walk in love, to walk in a manner that the Lord has called us to in the way the Lord walked. And but he's also going to hit on some points here that the culture in that age was something that was very well embraced in life. The culture around them was they embraced things in their life, and it was no big thing because it was generational. And so Paul is bringing really just a level of just who the Lord is and what he calls his people to. And then he calls us, you know, he's calling them more or less to be the people God's called them to be. To be a holy nation, to be a royal priesthood, to be his own special people, to proclaim the praises as we just did in worship, that take us out of darkness and into his glorious, marvelous light. He He's declaring to them to not walk this way, but walk in the light, to walk as a child of the King, to walk in the new nature that was given to you by new birth. And so let's open this up. He says, therefore, verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators. What child, mostly almost every child, has tried to imitate their father, daughter, mother, whatever. There's an imitation that happens. I know from my life, you know, my dad growing up, you know, I wanted to be certain things in my dad. You know, I wanted to emulate him. I wanted to talk like him, you know, maybe spit like him. You know, you emulate, you know, your dad in some ways. For me, it was, you know, and Paul is calling them to imitate God. Be imitators, be followers of God, you know, as dear children. Some people might need to hear that today, as dear children. You know, in being born again, we are brought into Christ. We are brought into a living relationship with our Heavenly Father. So, you know, just as Jesus went to the baptism, at his baptism, and the Holy Spirit came down, and the voice from heaven boomed, and he says, behold, this is my Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what he's saying to you today as his child. You are my beloved. You are my dear child. Let that sink in. You are my dear child. If you're struggling, the enemy's got you, there's a battle raging in your life, remember who you are. Don't forget that. Love is what keeps us. We don't keep love. Love keeps us. And in response to that love, we then live out our life. So don't remember who you are and what we're called to. So he's called to imitate. You know, Paul gave that big list in Philippians chapter 8, and he says, you know, think on love, think on good things, think on pure things, just things, lovely things, you know, things that are honorable, excellent. And he says, the things that you've seen in me, the things you've heard from me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, Paul was even calling people as an apostle, hey, I'm following the King, follow me, and you too will know the God of peace. And so he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Walk in love. That's easier said than done sometimes. You know, if we can just be honest with each other, you know, but that doesn't excuse the fact we're called to walk in love. And in that, the only reason sometimes we fall short of love is because we get in the way. But God gives us the power to do that. But it says, as Christ also loved us. Jesus gave up everything that we could find life. You know, we talked some weeks back about Jesus sitting on going to the cross. What was he? Mocked, he was ridiculed, he was beaten, he was a cat of nine tails on his back. I mean, he was bleeding out. I think like yesterday we talked about 1/3 of his blood was gone from his body. He did that for the sake of love, so that you and I and the world could be set free from the bondage of sin and have a hope here and a life to come that is glorious. He did that all for us. That's what love looked like in action, was going through the horrible things he went through so that you and I could experience peace. When you're in worship today, not always does it happen, you know, because sometimes we're distracted. But today, many of us today experience peace. We experience just an uplifting of his presence as we are worshiping and glorifying and magnifying him, right? The world doesn't know that. The world does not know that. It's fleeting. It's circumstantial. It's when you have a lot of money in your pocket, you're good to go. That's not what Christ died for. You know, giving himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It was pleasing to God. What Jesus did on that cross, just as in the Old Testament, they did it according to what God did in the sacrifices. Jesus went perfectly and did exactly what the Father said, and it was sweet-smelling aroma to God. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. We're going to go through quite a few scriptures today, but just bear with me. This is good. The Word of God makes us a complete man. The Holy Spirit does his work. And so Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. This is speaking of Jesus, says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God the Father. Deliver us from this present evil age. He came to set us free. He came to deliver us from this evil age. Turn over with me to Titus chapter 2. Jesus did a good work, and Paul talks much about this. And sometimes I think we think that his sacrifice on the cross was just for part of our sins, or for part of a life of love, or, you know, and Paul is declaring to us differently. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of Jesus, it says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I don't know, does your Bible say to redeem us from some lawless deeds? Does your translation say that? No? Does it say every? I think sometimes we think some, you know, God will just deliver us. You know, we're going to live with this the rest of our life. He's, you know, we're going to have, no, God's work on the cross was complete. It was done. It was to break every chain. It was to deliver from every lawless deed. And maybe somebody needs to hear that today, that your bondage is not permanent. I think somebody needs to hear that today. Your bondage is not permanent. God came to deliver you from every lawless deed, not just some, and purify for himself his own special people. I love that. His own special people, zealous for good works. When God breaks the chains in us, which he did on Calvary, we become zealous for what is good because we see him who is good. One more. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. You know, I mean, you don't have to, you can turn over there, but I'm going to read it. Acts chapter 3 and verse 26, it says, to you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away everyone from his iniquity or his sin. Speaking of Abraham coming to, that every nation would be, every person would be blessed in him. All the families of the earth would be blessed. And he says, Jesus came to bless you in turning every one of you from your iniquities. Jesus came to set free, he came to deliver. It was complete, it was final, it was a complete work. There's nothing less, there's nothing more needed. It's done. So Jesus came and loved us by going to the cross to set us free. If you want to go back to Ephesians. So we're going to go through each one of these just as Paul did, just quickly. We're not going to go spend a lot of time on them. But I just encourage you, take a look at these, allow these things to sink in. Is there any of this in your life, you know, and even in a seed form, right? Seeds grow, they blossom, they mature, and it doesn't produce good if it's not a good seed. And so just as you see this, just as a disease that we don't know we have, and it's causing havoc and causing destruction, and it's deteriorating us and all kinds of things. When we know we have a disease and we know that there's a cure for it, we can take the cure and we know that we're going to be healed. Sometimes we want to live, you know, all of us, differently. But God calls us to allow us to see this stuff, see it, know that Christ will deliver us from it. But he says in chapter 3, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not even be named among you, which is as is fitting for saints. So Paul is saying these things that he's describing, he says, don't even let them be on your tongue. Don't let these things even be known among us in the sense. Now, we don't cover our sin and we don't act like everything's okay when it's not, right? We are open, we're transparent before the Lord and before our brothers and sisters. And sometimes there's discretion in that. So don't, it's not a blanket statement, but there's discretion in sharing at times. But nonetheless, You know, Paul is saying this stuff should not even be on our lips. This should not be in our lives, as is fitting for saints. Saints is the set apart ones. We just described that. We're set apart unto a whole new life. We're to walk in light. We're to walk in love. We're to walk in purity. And that's not by our doing, but by the Holy Spirit in us and our submission to Him. You know, when I got saved, you know, I all of us to some degree have lived in all these to some degree. But when I got saved, man, my life got changed. I didn't want to cuss no more. I didn't want to swear no more. I didn't want to look at things no more. I didn't, you know, I wanted to make things right. I remember calling up people that I wronged and be like, I'm sorry. You know, I apologize. The Lord saved me, you know, and this is, I'm sorry that I treated you that way, or I took this from you. I stole from you years ago, and I'm sorry. And so I was making restitution everywhere, and God changed my heart. And that's what He's done when we become born again, is He changes us from the inside. We don't want to do these things. But sometimes from when we become disobedient, or we allow us to be deceived, whether we deceive ourselves, others, or we allow the enemy to deceive us, we can become in bondage. And so these things can start to take root in our lives, and we're in bondage because we don't bring them to the light. We don't bring them to the Lord and then to a brother or sister. And so they just create a stronghold in our lives. But Jesus came, as we just read, to deliver from every one of them. And so fornication, this is a very, just to be real, this is not always the most comfortable topic to talk about. But fornication in this context, Paul is describing sex outside of a marriage. You know, it's going out living loosely. It's not honoring God and the covenant of marriage, but just living however you want sexually in that aspect. But this word is actually porneia. Porneia, I think I said it right. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I think that's how you say it. It's where we get the word porn from. And in our day and age, years ago, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, so just bear with me. But years ago, you had to go places to find this. You know, you had to go. When I was a kid, man, it wasn't readily available. But you know, wherever you'd find it, a friend's house, you find it at an uncle's house, you find it at different places. But now it's everywhere. It is everywhere. For me personally, I have covenant eyes on my phone. Now, because I want to live a pure life, I want to live a life that honors God, and that my secret life is the same as my public life. I want that to be a testimony of God's work, not because I'm strong or we have anything in ourselves, but because God is good at keeping His children who follow Him and walk with Him. But in today's day and age, it's everywhere. Kids, everything. Some statistics here, and this is from Covenant Eyes, which is probably one of the leading most software and whatnot, and actually a platform for helping people to be free from it. But 78% of people in the United States consume pornography, of men consume pornography. 44% of women consume pornography. Now that's public, that's in the world. Today though, 75% of the men in the church consume pornography. 40% of women. That's ridiculous, that's crazy. 66% of youth consume it. This is a real epidemic in our culture. I know for a person, I'm just going to be real and vulnerable with y'all and open, but for 18, 20 years, I struggled with this until I was 28 years old. This had a grip on my life. I didn't know it because of the lifestyle I lived until I wanted to come out of it. A lot of people will say, well, I'll stop drinking, I'll stop doing this when I want to. We'll try to stop. And you'll realize the bondage it has on you, and that you actually aren't free, you're actually a slave to whatever that thing is that has you captive. But the Lord set me free when I was 28 years old and broke those chains. And by His grace, He's kept me free. So those are major statistics. And I bring that to light to say children are more exposed today. I was exposed at about eight years old. Today, kids, they say kids can be exposed at 4, 5, 6. It's all readily available. Parents, we need to be aware of where our children are at. It's a very real thing. Sexual sin, when it comes to sins, when Paul talks about them, it's at the top of the list. Why? Because the Bible says we sin against our own body. But not only that, it distorts, it objectifies people, and it's horrible, it's wicked. And if we're living in it, do not be deceived. It will destroy your life. It'll destroy your marriage. It'll destroy your relationships. It'll destroy so much. And if it doesn't destroy that, it's going to destroy you in the process. But if you struggle today, just confess it before the Lord. Bring it before Him. Acknowledge you're struggling with it. Find somebody you trust to talk to. Somebody that's near and dear. Somebody that the Lord maybe even puts on your heart that you don't really know very well. Go talk to them and say, this is what I'm struggling with. It's very humiliating. It's very humiliating, but it's freeing. Because until we bring it to the light, you're in bondage. I love the saying that they have in addiction recovery, and I believe it's biblical in many respects, is openness is to wholeness, as secrets is to sickness. We want to continue to live in sickness of the soul. We keep the secrets. We want to be open. We want to live in wholeness of soul. We bring it to the light. So I just encourage you, find somebody you trust, man. And I plead with you today, bring it to the light. You can be free. It may look like an insurmountable mountain for you, but you can be free. I know it for a fact. Doesn't mean there's not a struggle at times. Doesn't mean you're not tempted, but it does mean you can be free. And if you need to, get software, whatever it is. That's just a speed bump. You're going to find it if you want to. But if you want to be free, you'll be free and you can remain free. And so let's move on. Uncleanness. Paul goes on to say uncleanness. Impurity of lustful, luxurious, wild, reckless living. Excess. Lack of self-control. Just indulgent, right? Indulgent in just impure things, impure thoughts, impure living. I mean, he's talking about living this out. This isn't just you fell into something. This is living it out. This is a lifestyle of living these things out. And he says, let it not even be named among you, which is fitting for saints, you know. Covetousness, you know, just greedy for more. I desire more. Paul goes on to say it's idolatry. We worship objects. We want that. So we just so focus on it, and it becomes idolatry. It becomes a worship of a thing or a person, and it destroys us, and it destroys others, and it dishonors God. You know, and God says, don't even let that stuff be named among you. You know, this could be excess shopping. You know, this could be excess shopping, just indulging, luxurious, just wanting the best of everything. And yet our neighbors and our friends and our brothers and sisters are suffering. And we're just heaping all these comforts of this life on ourselves. And we have no care for our neighbor. You know, we live and, you know, we get all kinds of coffees, all kinds of drinks, but our brother right next to us or our sister right next to us is suffering. And we're just living in this, you know, we're just living in this wild life. And he says, don't let it be named among you, you know, live free. Covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, verse 4, which are not fitting for saints, but rather giving of thanks. You know, when we I think sometimes we say things, myself included, we say things because it's in our heart. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You want to know somebody where they are in life, just listen to them for enough. Anybody that knows me knows I listen. I listen. I try to listen. I don't always listen. You know, I mess up in that as well, just like the rest of us. But I listen to people because if we can listen to people's hearts, we can often diagnose where they're at. Because what is in your heart and where you're living in your life will eventually come out of your mouth. And you can see where bondages, you can see where struggles are in that person's life, and you can pray for them. We can all pray for each other because we hear the struggles in their life. But we also can help them with prayerful and graceful, you know, to walk them through that. So bear with me. We're gonna get through this, guys. We're going to move through this. But it says, do you see a man? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 2, it says, do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. When we have our words just run rampant in our lives, you know, filthy talking, foolish talking, just all kinds of just letting stuff run off. You know, there's more hope for a fool than for him. And if you know the Bible at all, you know that fools are not looked at very well. The Lord does not look at them well. And none of us want to be a fool. But Psalms 34, verse 12 and 14 says, who is a man who desires life in many good days? I think every one of us here today, would you be honest and say, you desire good life, you desire life, you desire good days in your life? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit or to speaking lies. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Our tongue is so, the Bible says it's untamable in James, but we know that the Holy Spirit gives us self-control. So by the Holy Spirit's governing in our life and obedience, God can enable us by his power to control the tongue. Now, it's not our power, it's his power, but he can give us the ability, also cleansing our heart. And so we can speak, but filthiness is simply obscenity, speech, action. It could be vulgar language, you know, just speaking vulgar language. It can be, you know, it can even be action in that stuff as well. But vulgar language, you know, just stuff that doesn't go with the status quo. And I don't mean like you always have to just get in line with what everybody says, but it's just very off color. You know, it can just be very off color. It doesn't edify anybody, doesn't help anybody. It's just foolish. Somebody might say buffoonery. I don't know if you guys know what buffoonery is. You're a buffoon, right? That could be similar, right? You're just a buffoon. You're a simpleton in that aspect. But foolish talking, foolish talking could be also buffoonery, but you act like a clown. You're kind of just obnoxious, nonsense, you know, just letting your tongue go, letting it run wild. Coarse jesting, you know, rude talking, vulgar jokes, off-color jokes, sexual jokes, things that point people not to a life of goodness, of righteousness and truth, but a life that leads people down a path of sin or a path of degrading, of slandering, of putting people down, you know. And oftentimes, you know, and I've heard this before and I've seen this in my own life, I've seen this in my own self, but sarcasm. We can say it's just joking. Think about it. There's normally almost always a hint of truth in the sarcasm. It's a hurt that comes up that becomes sarcastic. And it comes out and God says, don't do that. Don't do that. But he goes on to say, he says, but giving of thanks. One of the greatest things that God has shown me in my life is giving thanks. And it's not because everything is rosy and peachy and keen and I have, you know, everything I want, everything I desire. Although there is a truth that in Christ we can have complete peace and rest. But naturally, it doesn't mean that. But just think about this for a minute. So he just says, do not have any of this goofy talking. Don't let just words flow off your mouth and point people in a direction that's not honoring to God, honoring to our brother, or leading them in a path of life, a flourishing life, a good life. But acknowledging God's sovereignty. The only reason I can give thanks and you can give thanks with a true heart is when we understand that God is sovereign in our situations. You might be going through one of the most insurmountable mountains in your life today. I don't know. You could be looking at your lifestyle, your life, your family's history, whatever it is, and saying, this is too much for me. And we can start going down this avenue of just turning away from God, turning away from people, and starting to go down another path. And this stuff starts entering into our life because we've just turned away because we don't believe God's sovereign. We don't believe God is good. We don't believe that he has our best interest in mind. We don't believe these things. And therefore, we turn from him and we don't give thanks for them. You know, all of us, I know many of us here, there are situations currently, and there's some heavy stuff going on. But in God's sovereignty, we can say thanks. Thank you, because you're good. You're going to work all things together for my good. I don't see it. You know, years ago, I won't go into this long for the sake of time, but years ago, I was in this situation. I was in this dire situation. I've had many people live with me over the years. Not many, but quite a few. And people that normally struggle in life, and that's just the way it is. And God's put these people on my heart that come live with me. One time, there was this extreme situation, and I won't get into it for the sake of privacy, but there was a situation where I was so outside of my element. And if I was to share with you, your eyes would probably open up. But I was so outside of my element in this situation. I've worked with drug addicts, alcoholics, all this stuff, mental health people, and lived right in my house with me. But this one time, I remember sitting in this, and I was in such despair, and I got in my room. And I'm on my floor at the morning, And sometimes I didn't get up in the morning because I was tired. But this morning I was like, I have no hope. Like I have hope, but I have no natural hope before me. I just feel quenched. And I remember getting down and it was like the Lord pulled me up out of it. And he says, yeah, you've become myopic. You think you're in control of this situation. Let go. And in that moment, he says, this is a mountain to you, but to me, it's a molehill. And it just took me out. And that morning, things just started to break off because I started to see things from God's perspective and that God was orchestrating the very events that were in my life. And what he did through that season in my life was break off things that I've lived in for 30 years, maybe 35 years. And I lived in them. But I didn't realize the things that the way I processed life was not the way that he processes life. And through that trial, he broke. That season just started opening up. Things started to get better. People around me started to find healing and different things. And it sure in the heck was not because of my anything. It was because I was a vessel. And so are you. You're a vessel. And that's what we are. We're a vessel of God's grace. And we can give thanks for everything in life because he's good and he's rich in mercy. And we're going to go into thanks more down the road, but that's where we're at for now for that. And it's a good topic to get into. I just encourage you, give thanks. God's good. Your pain you're feeling is God's good. He's got some good through that. Verse 5. For this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Ouch. That's sobering. That should put a sobriety to us, you know. You know, the Bible says that in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, 28, 13 for you who are taking notes. This is a good one. He who covers his sins will not prosper. Many of us want to prosper in life. What he's talking about is internally. But God prospers us externally as well. Which internal comes first. We won't get into that. That's a whole other sermon, but he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into destruction or calamity. You know, this is not speaking of a person who follows the Lord, who sinned, repented, and turned back to God. This isn't talking about that. This isn't a person who desires to follow the Lord and by their lifestyle, they are proving that they are a follower of the Lord, that they're being obedient to the commands to the best of their ability, listening for his voice, following him, doing what he's calling them to do. That's not this person. This is a person who continues to live in unrepentant sin. They know that they're sinning. They know that they're living a lifestyle of unrepentance, of complete disobedience. And yet they're just saying, I'm going my own way. I'm going this way. An unrepentant person. And so Paul says, you know, you have no inheritance. You have no future in the kingdom of God. Turn over with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. This is good. This really encouraged me as I was going through this, as we're going to continue this through here. But 1 Peter chapter 2, or first one, I mean, chapter 1. Let you get there. First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation to be revealed the last time. God has begotten us into a living hope. He says in verse 23 of the same chapter, he says, you've been born again, not a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible. When Christ caused us to be born again, when we turn from our way, put our faith in him, trust in him. We became born again into this hope, this living hope. This inheritance that we have is undefiled. It's incorruptible. This world cannot touch it. People cannot touch it. No one can touch it. It's undefiled. That means there's no impure thing in it. It's perfect. Not only is it incorruptible, it cannot be corrupted. It's perfect. And it does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. There is a day we get so caught up in our myself included, we get caught up in our pursuits sometimes. We get caught up in the next season. We get caught up in the next thing that we believe God's calling us to. But there's an ultimate destination that we're going to be going to. And the thing that really encouraged me was when I thought about fade away, it does not fade away. I think of our joys. Just our sister today said yesterday was really good. Today was good. Still good. It's still good. God's good. God's on his throne. We get that. But it changes in us. Emotions change, right? Things change. People come, people go. You know, hurts come, joys come, all this stuff, but it's fading. This life is constantly moving. When I thought about fade away, the inheritance of his people, the colors will never fade. We're having fall right now. They won't fade. They'll be just vibrant all the time. When I got saved, everything was vibrant. Heaven's going to be 100 times that. Fun will never stop. If there's fun, there's joy. There's got to be fun. God's good. Never stop. It'll just continue. Joy will always be full. Our joy will be full. That's where we're going. See this. This is where we're off to. Grab a hold of it. Don't let go of it. You know, peace, friendships will flourish. You know, this stuff, this is where our destination is. We've caught up here. But our destination is so glorious. No more pain. No more sorrow. Full of joy. In the presence of Christ, his presence, fullness of life itself. That's where we're going. But he says those who live a life outside of the kingdom, live in unrepentant, unconfessed sin, just continuous week after week, day after day, week after year after year. The children of Israel, wrath came upon them because year after year they kept living in disobedience to the Lord and what the Lord. They just kept going to the gods of the nations. And God got angry with them. But God does not get angry with his children. And we're going to see that. As we put our trust there and follow Christ, we have a sure inheritance. Because there's some days I cling to the inheritance of heaven. It's now. We receive it now as being born again. But there's a fullness of it coming. There's a fullness of it coming. Allow that to sink in. This isn't everything. Thank God. I love it. I love my life. Don't get me wrong. I love it here. When the Lord made me born again, man. It became wonderful. Not without pain, not without struggle. Don't get me wrong. Hardest life I've ever lived. But I can say yes to it and I can say no to it. But I've said no and I've been in bondage and I've been free. I want to stay free. It's the hardest life I've ever lived. The most full life I've ever lived. The most glorious life I've ever lived. And in the struggle, there's meaning. Before there was no meaning. Before there was just bondage. I couldn't get out of the life I was in. I didn't even know there was another life. I thought it was always a grind, always a struggle, always, oh, just... And then Christ gets a hold of your life and you're going, this is chuff, but I have a hope. I have a king. I can have peace in my trust in him. I can have rest in my soul. But those outside the kingdom, those who live in unrepentant sin, they don't have that. And we're going to see that in a minute. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 2. I'm going to hit this. Real quick. Romans chapter 2. Go to Romans chapter 2, verse 5, and I'm going to read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 for you. For the wrath of God is revealed. You know, it says those, the wrath of God. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's keep going. Keep your finger there, but I'm going to read verse 6 for you. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So those who live outside the kingdom have no hope of heaven. They have no hope of inheritance now and in the future. They have no promise of a good life. They might have a good life here, but it's a fleeting life. Sin is pleasurable for a season, but there is a payment at the end of that season. We can like and enjoy now, but there will be a payment. And a lot of us don't know that the cost of that payment, and it's high. But it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. You know, the wrath of God, that's a big subject. Who here, you don't need to raise your hand, but just think about this. Who here thinks often of the wrath or anger of God upon their life? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to. But you think of God's anger towards you, or you think of his wrath towards you. Just think about that as we go into this. Like I said, this is a little heavy, but this is good. This is good. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of this, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let people fool you with untruths. Don't let them fool you with their own empty words as far as trying to pull you away from what's truly true. Romans chapter 2, verse 5, before we get into this. Years ago, I didn't know the Lord. And people would say, well, if you know the truth, you know, just because if you don't know the truth, you're good to go, right? I can just be ignorant and not know the truth, and I can just be safe and I can go on. Well, truth is truth, whether you want to admit it or not. The reality is the reality, whether you want to admit it or not. Just as I don't believe there's no atheists. You cannot look at this world and just say that I just believe they're running from something. But years ago, I think I might have shared this story with some of you, but years ago, I was walking around my house and I just lived a very simple life, but I also was getting sick for many years. And so in this sickness, I went to other things to cope with my sickness, to try to find some peace. And I kept going deeper, deeper, and deeper, and deeper into that lifestyle. And it just created more and more bondage in my life. And I didn't know it. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know his word. I don't think I've ever said a prayer to God, maybe. I don't know. I don't remember it. But I was walking around my kitchen. I had my own house. I walked around my kitchen thing, and I remember seeing this vision. I might have shared this before, but bear with me. I seen this vision, and I was 10 years old, and I'm walking down the road, and I'm with my buddies, and it was a peaceful moment. The sun was out. It was just peaceful, right? And I was just taken back, and I'm like, that's a beautiful sight. And I remember just thinking about that, and at the same time, I'm in this pit down at the bottom in complete darkness. And I'm in hopelessness, I'm in despair. And I remember thinking to myself, as the prodigal son came to himself, come to myself, I said, what am I doing? How did I get here? How did I get here? How did I get from a 10, 11-year-old kid on that one day having such joy and peace? And every day now is a grind. Every day is a struggle. Darkness all around me. I'm paranoid. I'm freaking out. I'm stressed out. Anxiety's through the roof. You know, I'm masking it with all kinds of things. How did I get here? That life led me to a place in my life where I was hearing screams in my head. Little, I was telling that with a brother today, hearing screams in my head. I was hearing voices as if you were talking to me as a person, hearing screams, yelling at me, cussing at me, swearing at me. And this happened not just for a day, not just for a week, and not for 2 weeks, for quite a while. And it increased over time. And I was sick, so I couldn't move much. So the enemy just had a heyday with me. I didn't know the truth. I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know anything yet. My lifestyle and the way I lived led to that. And by God's mercy, sickness was allowed into my life, directly or indirectly, it doesn't matter to me. And it brought me to a place of crying out to God. And I'm here today as a testimony that he saved me. And so God, whether it's true or not, whether we want to believe it or not, it's true. It's real. You know, and God is good. God loves us. That's why he sent his son to bring us into this. And you know, hell, not to spend too much time on this, but a lot of people say, I can't believe God would send some people to hell. Well, in scripture, as I see it, and some people believe this, but I truly don't believe in the scriptures as I read them. I don't believe God sends anyone to hell. I really don't. I believe we make our own decisions in life. And I believe that, you know, even says, you know, don't fear him who can kill this body, but fear him who can kill the body and throw the whole soul in hell. He says, God has all power. It doesn't says he does. It says he can. You know, Romans chapter 9 says that God does some for mercy and then he prepares some for destruction. Well, if you actually look at that, that's actually a passive way of looking at it. And God actually doesn't send them or doesn't predestine them to destruction. It actually, if you actually read it out and study it in the Greek and how it is, it actually would read this way. They prepare themselves for destruction. Those who continue on their own way prepare themselves for destruction. God will grant them their request, but he doesn't send them there. Yeah, he sends them there, but they made the choice to go there. So all that to say, Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. But in accordance to your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who are patient, continuance in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking, you do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, on the Jew first and also on the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does what is good. Glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. To the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. I'm not something special in one sense. You're not nothing special. There's no partiality with God. We all stand, I said this before, we all stand before the same God, set before the same cross, and it's only Christ that saves us. It's only Christ that brings us out. We read that he delivers us from sin. He delivers from a life of striving. He delivers, he delivers, he delivers. It's Christ, he, not us, it's him. But he says that wrath, anger, God is perfect in his wrath and his anger. It's not like ours where we pop off and we yell at somebody, we demean somebody, put them down. God's perfect in his justice. And for me, that justice is a comfort to me. You want to know why? Because I know God is good, and that the evil that I see out there, instead of me trying to take it into my own hands, I can say I serve a just God. Why? Because he's just. On the cross, I deserve payment. I put my trust in him. He gives me eternal life. He gives me a life for all who would believe. But God is just, and therefore I can walk through this world knowing that justice will be had. No person's going to get away with anything. We can live however we want, but not a one, myself included, is going to get away from anything. There's going to be a judgment, and we're all going to face it one day. But those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ can be looking forward to the rewards of heaven. The rewards, good job, good and faithful son or daughter, right? We don't get away from anything. There's no partiality with God. We're not self-righteous and thinking we've done all kinds of good. No, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And Lord, would you bring others into the kingdom? Because there is a real, this is true. And therefore, if it's true, it should motivate us to share the truth with people. Like I said, this isn't an easy message, right? But at the same time, it's a truthful message. And that's why Jesus hung on that cross for us. And he died on the cross, was to set people free from bondage, from sin, and from the wrath to come. That's why he did it for us. He didn't do it because he's some mean God in the sky. No, it was man that chose to rebel in the beginning. It was man that chose to say, no, I got it. My way is better than yours. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to destruction. And all of us at one time were on that path. It's only by God's grace and mercy that we can be on the path of life. And so in love, we share this with people because it's the truth. And we want people to know. We want them to know glory, honor, and peace. We want them to know rest. We want them to know hope. Many people don't have that today, but God wants us to have hope. Let's go on to a little happier note here. Turn over to me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. We've read this many times. So powerful. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, so much more, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. Much more than, verse 9, having been made righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. He makes us right. We turn, we put our trust in him. He makes us right. He takes us farther than we could go. He does the work. We submit to him. He does it. We don't have to worry about where we're going. We have a good leader. We have a good shepherd. We have a good God. And he has the best for his people. I'm going to read this for us, another one. First Thessalonians, for you taking notes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. For the sake of time, I'll just read it. For they themselves declare concerning to us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols and served the living and true God, and to wait from his send from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. God is not a hateful God. God is a good God. God is a perfect God, and even in his justice, he's perfect. But Jesus came to save us from wrath, from ourselves, from just wickedness, and to give us a life worth living. That's our God. That's what he did for us. That's where he's at. You know, not only can we deceive ourselves, you know, as it says, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 5, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. We can deceive ourselves. You know, I think the greatest deceiver that can be out there is ourselves, because we buy into what's told to us and we start speaking it ourselves. We start thinking about it. We don't weigh it against truth. We flippantly say sayings. We flippantly say things, and we have to ask ourselves, is that really true? Because sometimes we just say things that's been around for years and it doesn't really line up with Scripture. And therefore it deceives us, leads us astray, leads others astray. But James chapter 1, verse 26, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, deceives his own heart, and his own religion is useless. You know, we can deceive ourselves. We can defile with our tongue. So we have to remember to keep ourselves in the truth, walking in the light. Verse 7, it says, therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with them. You know, Paul is not saying stay in your holy huddle. Stay at Calvary Chapel, Kuna Peninsula in the building. Stay in the groups. Don't go outside of them. He's not. That's nonsense. There's churches that do that. They say we got to guard our own. And it's like they put up these walls everywhere that nobody can come in. And they only grow from within. They don't grow from without. They don't evangelize. They don't reach out. That's not what Paul is saying at all. What he's saying is, don't be co-participants with them in their lifestyle. Don't embrace their lifestyle. You know, I was just talking to somebody the other day. They didn't agree with where I am and everything. And actually, they kind of went down some crazy loops and stuff. But I clearly stated where I stand. And I just said, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in this. I believe in that. You know, and I stand on these things. And I declared where I was and where I wasn't. If they want to walk, then we can work through that. But I'm not going to jump over to their side and live their lifestyle. You know, I'm not going to enter into this life of darkness. I'm not going to walk this path of darkness. For one, it destroys us. It destroys others. It dishonors God. You know, God chastens his children, but he does it because he loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to have all that he paid for us to have, and that's a relationship with him. And there's a lot to that. But he says, do not be partakers with them. How can two walk together unless they agree? If you and I are going to different destinations, if we have different affections in our heart, how can we walk together? We have to kind of skip over the truth. We have to kind of downplay who we really are as Christians to walk together. And God says, don't have that. Stand in who you are as children of light. Stand in the light, walk in the light. Ephesians 6, we're going to get into it down the road, and we're closing up here. So Ephesians chapter 6, you know, warfare. It's a warfare chapter. As we depart from the things of this world and the ways of this world, you're going to be a target. Consider that. We have a great hope, brothers and sisters. We do not need to walk in that way. You know, Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 15, it says, those who depart, let me just read it to you. It's a powerful verse. This is a power, and this is in our day and age. Right now, we're watching it outside unfold before us. A powerful verse, brothers and sisters. It says, so truth falls in the street, or truth has fallen in the street, and iniquity stands, and iniquity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Truth is falling in our streets today. Where are people going to look? Can they look to the church? Or is the church just like the world? Are we worldly? Are we living a life that resembles the world? Are we living a life that resembles the Lord? You know, it says truth has fallen in the streets. Look at our nation. Look at what's happening. We as the church can rise up. We can walk as children of light. We can walk as children of truth. We can walk in all what is right, good, and true. We can walk. But brothers and sisters, know this. You're going to face opposition. That was promised to us. That's not a problem. Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, half of one and two-thirds of another talk about blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are when people revile you. I don't understand it all. But the Lord says you're blessed, and I'm going to go with him. And I've seen when things come against me, when people have ridiculed me. I've had a threat on my life at one time, you know. And it shook me at first. But I can tell you what, God is true, and God will fight for his children. We need to walk in the light, not go with the world, fall to the world. Walk in the light. Walk in truth. Live in the presence of God, in the life of God. You know, not to turn to cowardice-ness. Our world is full of people in the church turning away from what's true, what's right. And therefore, we see our nation, we see our kids struggling in the schools because ideologies are rising up that are destroying kids, they're destroying families. And we as children of God can depart from the ways of this world. We can live as children of God. We can live in the light. We can live in truth. We can rise up for who we really are as children. You know, this life is fleeting. This life is fleeting. But what we have in Christ is unfading. And one day we're going to see the fullness of it. Are we going to surrender completely to the ways of Christ and live for eternity and for the souls around us? Or are we going to cower? Are we going to go back because we'd rather have the applause of men rather than the praise of God? You know, I'll just tell you something right now that I've learned in my life. You can live by the applause of men, but you'll die by the praise of men. You want to live by the praise of men and what people say about you and how you are in your life and, oh, you're this and you're that. You can live by that, but I'll tell you, you're going to die by the same people that are going to criticize you. And as Christians, as we walk in the light, one minute people are going to love you and the next minute people might not love you. But guess what? God loves us. God died for us. And you know what? If we love people, we're going to point them to the way of life. We're going to point them to the hope of the resurrection. We're going to point them to Jesus Christ, because I can tell you something in my life, this is something I'm living my life for. I'm not walking back. People that have seen me for years, as Ben says, it might have been a phase. This ain't a phase for me, man. I'm more on fire for the Lord now than I've ever been in my life, because I see him who is invisible. Not perfectly, but I see him more now, clearly, more than I ever have in my life. And God's calling us to stand up. So today, are you going to rise up? Are you going to confess those things if they're in your life? Are you going to turn from them? Are you going to see that the circumstances in your life were ordained by a sovereign God, allowed them into your life? He might not have directly given them, but he allowed them. You might have went ways. You might have went your own way and disobedience at this. God's sovereign. He knows where you're at. You're going to continue down the path of disobedience or living in sin if you are, or whatever it is, or are you going to confess that, forsake it, and move in the path of life? The way of the just, the righteous, is light. It's like the dawning of the day. It only grows brighter until that full day, one day when we meet him in heaven. We can walk as children of light, not in darkness. You've been delivered from darkness. Don't live in it any longer if you are. Come out, walk in the light. You know, all of us struggle in life. This isn't saying do better, try harder. That's not at all. Just surrender. Myself included, surrender. Let go. Let God. Pithy saying, so true. Let go of your life. Let go of the clutches of your life. Say, God, use me however you want to. I believe your book. I believe your promises. And when you and I walk in the truth, hear me out. The people in your life that you desire to come to the Lord, they're going to see your walk and they're going to start moving in that direction. Not because of anything good in you. It's because we're looking to the one. And he is bringing a path because we're following him. He's making a path for them to find freedom, healing, wholeness, restoration, and hope. Amen. Amen. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for the great hope we have that all of us have struggles at times, Lord. We're in battles, we're in places that seem that the mountains are insurmountable. Maybe our own sin, Lord, our own disobedience has caused issues. Maybe others have caused issues in our life. But today, Lord, we give you thanks that you are sovereign and you are good. Now you will work all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And today, Lord, we trust you for that. In the areas that we struggle, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to trust. And Lord, that you'd help us to be who we really are in light. That where you delivered us from darkness and brought us into the light. Lord, continue to empower us to walk as children of light. That just as John the Baptist was a sign to point people to you, Lord, may our lives, not because of us, but because we look to you, point people also to you, and that they too can come into the life and love and freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, empower us today. Give us courage. Help us to walk past our vulnerabilities with your strength and just to live that life you've called us to, knowing we have that hope in heaven and even here with you. So, Lord, bless our time today as we gather and just bless the food to our bodies. And, Lord, we just thank you for your great work you're doing on this earth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.